Hi, it's Misha Youssef, your host, your best friend, the perfect little angel on your shoulder. This is Tell Them I Am. You know how in pop culture, angels are these pure, perfect creatures? They're coming down from the heavens and are showing us these flawed, whack humans how to be better, that we have so much to learn from them. Well, what blew my mind recently is in the Quran, it's not like that. Like, there's this one part in the text, it's in the second surah, and this whole scene takes place in the heavens. God is hanging with the angels, and he tells them about this new thing that he's been working on, humans. He says, I'm gonna place a deputy on earth. And the angels are like,
quick question. Like, I know that you're in charge and respect that so much, but I feel like humans are scum. So you're gonna put someone on earth who's just gonna cause trouble and like shed blood and be gross? But like,
And the angels are giving real like but vibes.
Oh, really? Like, I don't,
And God's amused, patient, as he always is. He's like, oh, you know? You know? You sing my praises day and night? You know more than the humans? What's that thing over there called? And the angels are like,
oh, no, I don't know. We don't know. You didn't tell us that. You didn't tell us what it's called, though. So, like...
He's like, yeah, I know. What's that thing over there called? And the angels admit,
we don't know is the thing.
So then God is like, hey, Adam. And Adam is all of humankind here, not just one dude. What's that thing over there called? And Adam's like,
A cow?
God looks over at the angels and he's like, yeah, that's a cow. Adam knows, you don't. God says, did I not say to you that I know the secrets of the heavens and the earth? And I know what you reveal and what you've been hiding? He tells them that they've got to bow down to Adam. So they do. And I love this story because this whole thing is a lesson from God to the angels and to Adam, to humankind. The angels are so confused because they're the best at worshiping. So like, why doesn't God like them the best? Why would he give Adam knowledge that he doesn't give them? And here's my reading of this. God is showing the angels worship isn't the only way to his heart. Knowledge matters, and seeking knowledge matters. And even more than that, God will reveal that knowledge, the secrets of the universe, to whomever he wants, in whatever way he wants.
My name is Senma Hindi, and I am best known for being a stand-up comedian and I guess like an Instagram therapy advocate in the Muslim community. I identify strongly as therapy being my religion and me being the spokesperson for it.
I basically was born and raised in a suburb in Toronto into a very, very strict Muslim family, and I was the youngest of five children. And even when I went to university, which was the first time that I went to a mainstream institution, I myself became extremely self-righteous. I was like basically the haram police. And it was so weird for my friends because I was also so hilarious and so funny and so cool. But I would turn around and just judge them for if they ever did anything that I thought was haram. So if they ever hung out with boys or had boyfriends, if they were ever dating anyone, or even like very small, simple things like going to the mall with boys, or if they ever tried like drugs or anything like that, I would be furious with them. I genuinely thought like, you're doing the unspeakable. You're gonna go to hell. Like, this is an unforgivable. And obviously all of this is, you know, my mom's words and what I was raised to think. I kind of developed this, what I now learned in therapy and in psychology and stuff, cognitive distortion called the scoreboard, which is like, you know, you think someone out there is keeping score, how I was taught Islam, is very much like, this is a sin, this is not, and good deeds, bad deeds. And if you pray in a congregation, it's like 27 times more good deeds. And like, everything was like mathematical. Everything was a scoreboard in how it was taught to us. Fast forward 8-9 years, I'm now done my master's. Okay, I finished my master's in engineering and I'm chilling at my parents' place. I'm back home. I definitely got into it with my parents. They were very against stand-up. They didn't want me to do it, specifically my dad. And he kept using religious spiritual guilt against me. He was like, God's not going to be happy with you. This is haram. A woman can't like go stand up on stage at night in bars where everyone's drinking alcohol, telling inappropriate jokes, and would say things to me like, if you keep going down this path, you're going to lose your religion. You're going to lose yourself. God's never going to be happy with you, et cetera, et cetera. But this was the first time where our clash persisted. And I was like, no, I want to do it because it's for the first time I feel like I'm finally doing something that is in line with what I want to do. I felt like this insane depression take over me. I was just so unhappy with the path that I did because I thought it was expected of me. I started talking to this guy and I told him like all of the things that I'd been struggling with and how, you know, like I've never even like considered masturbating and all these things. And I'm always in my head about it because I'm like, I don't know, whatever. And he said, you need to do shrooms. That was like the first time I ever heard it. And I was like, you're crazy. Like, I will never. Do you even know who I am? I've never smoked shisha. I've never smoked cigarettes. I've never done anything. Never smoked weed. Like, there's no way I'm going to do shrooms. Like, are you crazy? And then he's like, honestly, I think it would really help you with sort of understanding yourself better. And he said, you won't be Selma. You'll just be. So I started Googling logistical things, of course, like
how much shrooms should I take?
What is like a low dosage, or what's like the average dosage of shrooms?
Can shrooms cause permanent damage?
I searched like shrooms experience, spiritual.
Mushrooms come a food of the gods?
I guess I also searched for advice for first shrooms experience. And everything I read basically came down to two things. The two pieces of advice that they gave was, number one, be intentional, and number two, surrender yourself. Well, I spoke to two of my close friends about it, and I found out that they had just done shrooms recently. And so I asked them, I was like, especially one of them who I'm really close with, I asked her, I was like, can you do it with me? We literally booked a day in my calendar. And we were like, okay, we're going to go to Toronto Island, Center Island, and we're going to do shrooms. So my friend got to my place at around, I'm going to say 2:30 p.m. We took our backpacks and we put snacks in there. We had to prepare, right? Because we're going to be outdoors. So we put snacks in there. We put like a shawl, sunscreen, bug spray, made sure our phones were charged, sunglasses, masks. And then we were good to go. We were like, okay, we're going to do this. We leave my apartment at probably around, I'm going to say 3:30. And then we took the ferry to the island and we walked around a little bit and then we found a spot by the water. And at that point, it was like 4 p.m. My friend pulls out this Ziploc bag, two Ziploc bags with shrooms in it. And this is the best part. When she first pulled out the bags, I was like, wait a minute, shrooms are actually mushrooms? Because I was, in all my research, I didn't know, I guess, how it would be ingested. Anyways, she's like, okay, I measured them. I weighed them out. She's like, this one's yours. This one's mine. She was taking a lower dosage than me. And I was like, okay. And then, so I grabbed the bag quickly and I'm about to start eating it. So I chewed on all of them and it was really dry. And eventually I swallowed the whole bag. So I took my full dose. And then she's like, yeah, now we wait. So we got up and then we went and we sat by the water. We're kind of quiet. I'm nervous, anticipating the drug kicking in. Around half an hour in, I started to feel a lot of visceral reactions. Like my throat tightened up a lot and I started to get a little nauseous. And my stomach started hurting me, and then I started to get a really big headache. And so I was like, okay, my heart rate started to increase. So I started to get a little scared, and I told my friend, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna lie down and wait for him to kind of pass. I close my eyes and all of a sudden I start seeing in color. And I was like, oh, this is so strange. And I think that was the first time that I realized, I was like, this is my first time seeing in color, which means that I only dream in black and white because this is my first time seeing color. So then I was like, whoa, this is really trippy. And then I opened my eyes and the first thing I see is my friend's piercing red water bottle. The sounds around me start to get so pronounced. Like I can hear the swing a few feet behind us. I can hear like the squeaking of the swing every time it turns and stuff. And then I sit up and I tell my friend, I'm like, all of a sudden I can see everything around me and it's just so clear. It's kind of, we were like making this joke that it's like someone upped the saturation on like Photoshop, but just like of the whole world. So at that point, I just like made the decision and I was like, okay, we're just gonna let go. And then from that point on, it started to become way more enjoyable. Like it just became so fun. I was like, okay, like let me see what I can do with this. And the first thing I did, because me and my friend are sitting and we're looking out at water, and we see all the ducks and the geese. And I'm sitting there and it's like an instinct. Like it's just a reflex. I start saying, SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi, SubhanAllah al-Azim. And I kept saying that, SubhanAllah wa bihamdihi, SubhanAllah al-Azim. I'm just so used to always doing that. Like when I'm in nature and I'm just like remembering God. After saying that a few times, I was like, wait a minute. I'm still Muslim? I was literally shocked. I, for some reason, because of how everybody freaks out about drugs and intoxicants and anything in this realm, I thought like if I were ever to take a drug or if I were ever to be intoxicated, then that meant that I would no longer be Muslim and I would just be like, you know, just like a promiscuous, like blasphemous monster. You know, like I just thought just the vices of humans in general would come out in me. And so I was so taken aback. I was like, oh my God, like I'm still Muslim and I'm on drugs. That's wild. I did not think the two could coexist. I think when I was not on shrooms, like just normally, like in the back of my mind, I have all of this anxiety in terms of like, I'm like, oh my God, should I ask this question or how's it going to be perceived? Should I say this? Oh my God, how's she going to take it? Oh my God, is this the right thing to say? What would a cool person say right now in this moment? Like what's expected of me to say? Then say that. Like there's always this voice in the back of my head that's talking. And then after I say what I said, I'm always like, oh my God, should I have said that? Oh my God, how is she taking it? Oh my God, do I need to defend it? Do I need to do damage control? When I was on shrooms, there was none of that. It was like, I said what I said and I meant what I said. Done. And everything I said was reasonable because I said it. I was myself with complete permission. Like I was myself with, I just allowed myself to be who I actually am, which leads to the self-trust, which is that, okay, like I trust myself to express what I need to express and to be who I need to be. And it is what it is. I just realized, like, I was like, oh no, I actually am really caring. I am really empathetic. I'm always a very anxious person. And so I think like it kind of helped me. It reintroduced myself to me. Like it was like, Selma, meet who you actually are. Like it's just my soul. And in that way, I was able to fall in love with myself again. I was like, wow, this is, or not even again, just fall in love with myself, period.
Tell Them I Am is presented by Higher Ground Audio and Spotify and produced by Dustlight Productions. I'm your host and executive producer, Misha Youssef. The executive producers at Higher Ground Audio are Dan Fearman, Mukta Mohan, and Anna Holmes. Janae Maribel is editorial assistant. From Dustlight Productions, Mary Knopf is our executive producer. Ariana Gharib-Lee and Jonathan Shiflett are our producers. Arwen Nix is our editor. Valeria Alarcon is our apprentice. This episode was written by me, Valeria Alarcon, Mary Knopf, and Arwen Nix. It was sound designed by me, Jonathan Shiflett, and Valeria Alarcon. Arwen Nix did the voice of the angels. Valentina Rivera is our engineer. David Leinard is our composer and made our gorgeous original music. Emin Ahmed is our illustrator and the creator of our episodic art. Elizabeth Goodspeed made our amazing series tile art. Special thanks to Rachel Garcia, our development and operations coordinator. From Spotify, executive producers are Daniel Eck, Don Ostroff, and Courtney Holt. This podcast was originally a production of LAS Studios.